Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
Hey, I'm just feeling really gloomy and sad. How about a tragic drowning of a child turned, like, I don't know, tragic?
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John here with Jamie. I want to be honest. This one is so tragic. I had a really hard time with the intro.
That's a double tragic. You dropped a double tragic.
I did, and I'm sorry. But
it's a tragedy.
This is a brutal story, but one of the people involved in this story has now turned 18 years old, is over 18 years old, and for the first time as an adult, spoken with media. So I wanted to get this story out there to you all. But before I do, how are you doing, man?
I'm all right, buddy. Things are rolling forward, springing full steam ahead. So, and true crime don't stop either. So why don't you get us rolling?
Today we're going to go back to 2007, and that doesn't sound like that long ago, but when you do the math, Jamie, that was almost 20 years ago. It's hard to believe.
It's wild.
And we're going to be talking about the tragic death of a 7-year-old girl. Her name is Adriana Hudo, and I think what is most memorable about this case is that she was potentially murdered by her mother. And to make matters worse, this was witnessed by her stepbrother, 7 years old. So he had to testify in court. And I think that you'll recognize this story from there. So August 8, 2007, Amanda Lewis called 911 and she reported that she had found her daughter, Adriana, unresponsive in their backyard pool. Emergency responders rushed to the scene and took Adriana to Bay Medical Hospital, but despite their best efforts, she was pronounced dead about an hour later.
Initially, authorities thought this was a tragic accident. This, unfortunately, is something that does happen time to time, but the narrative took a drastic turn when Adriana's 6-year-old half-brother, AJ, gave a statement to authorities. AJ told investigators that he witnessed his mother punish Adriana by holding her underwater in the pool. He claimed that this was a form of discipline that he had seen before.
This revelation, of course, prompted authorities to reclassify this from accidental drowning to a homicide investigation. And as investigators looked deeper into this case, they uncovered some pretty troubling details. Adriana had been diagnosed with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactive disorder, and Amanda admitted to having, I don't know, kind of a difficult time bonding with her daughter. Anytime you hear that, that's a red flag. Moreover, the family, they didn't have toys for the kids, and they didn't really see like a religious component as to why, so that's also another red flag. Amanda claimed that she had taken the toys as a punishment, but then she stored them outside in her shed. But when people started looking in the shed, there were no toys there. So she's not being truthful. And that, when you're being investigated for a homicide, is never a good look.
Yeah, the odd parenting behavior is what it is. Of course, we have seen people go viral for this with Ruby Frankie in that situation and others. But it's the lying to authorities, I think, that initially cast all kinds of doubt. So the medical examiner took a look at this, and it showed that AJ's story lined up. There were bruises on Adriana's forehead, and it seemed that it was very likely that somebody had held her underwater. Despite passing a lie detector test, Amanda was arrested in September of 2007 and charged with first-degree murder. She declined a plea deal for manslaughter and opted to stand trial.
In February of 2008, Amanda's trial started. The prosecutor's key witness was 6-year-old AJ, and I would highly recommend watching his testimony in court. As a father, it is just so horrible to think about what this little fella has seen, and he's so articulate. But I guess for me, Jamie, one of the questions is, was this kid coached? Because this entire case hinges on what he says. So they agreed that the six-year-old's reconciliation could be influenced or flawed, but the prosecution presented additional evidence, including testimonies about Amanda's demeanor and the household environment. After 4 days of proceedings and just 2 hours of deliberation, one of those hours being a lunch break, the jury came back and ultimately found Amanda guilty of first-degree murder and aggravated child abuse.
She was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, which I believe is the appropriate sentence if she's guilty of this. In 2010, she appealed the conviction. She tried to cite a bunch of different things, mostly technicalities. She said that using aggravated child abuse as a felony in an underlying felony charge to make it felony murder was kind of like double jeopardy because it was one act if it did happen that way. Anyway, her appeal was denied. Her conviction was upheld. This case has gotten a lot of media attention. It was featured in Investigation Discovery's True Crime with Aphrodite Jones. It's been on 2020. It's been on, there was a documentary in the UK called Killer Women with Piers Morgan that covered this case. So it's certainly been out there. And I mean, like you said, it's been almost 20 years, but it did recently come up again.
Yeah, 24-year-old AJ has now publicly addressed this incident, and this is the first time he's ever done so as an adult. And he said that he stands by his testimony from 2008. He maintains that his testimony was truthful and he did not feel like it was influenced or coached in any way. He just stated, "I told them exactly what I saw, word for word." He also described his childhood as marked by, quote, darkness and trauma. There were instances of physical abuse that were directed both him and his sister. And despite the profound impact that this testimony had, he expressed that he had a mix of emotions, but ultimately agreed that everything he said was what he saw, and he wholeheartedly stands by what he said. Jamie, you and I have talked quite extensively about eyewitness testimony, and I mean, you and I are adults, and what we saw during some events are different than what actually happened. This is a seven-year-old kid at the time. I mean, who's to say that his mom wasn't getting the child out of the pool? Now, who knows? But I just think it's a lot of weight to put on the shoulders of a little kid.
It really is. Like you said, eyewitness testimony is kind of suspect anyway. So when you add the, I hate to say reliability, but the lack of reliability of a child, it makes it even tougher. And, you know, AJ, if you watch this, I think you're going to believe him. He was articulate enough and direct enough that he was very convincing in what he said. But let's not forget that a lot of the abuse accusations were confirmed. The medical analysis did confirm that Adriana did have bruises and was likely held under. So it wasn't just his testimony, although it obviously did, I think, slam the door shut on this case and on his mother. So it was important, but it wasn't standing alone, I believe. The bigger story, I think, that is hard to talk about is, how did this impact him afterwards? Obviously, he's now lost his mother and his sister. What kind of trauma does this cause somebody, A, to see this, but B, to know they're responsible for putting their mom behind bars?
Absolutely. And I think as a young child, I don't think that you can understand like that what you did was morally and ethically right. Although the decision to talk about that now takes you away from your family. So a lot of trauma, a lot of baggage for sure.
And you wonder how much of that he understood in the middle of it too. I don't know.
Yeah. So man, thank you for talking about child abuse and child murder. I know this is not our favorite topics. Both of us probably happy to check this one off the list and call it done.
Yeah, but it is fascinating to hear from him as an adult and talk about how sometimes you see these things come back up and they're like, oh yeah, I lied, or oh yeah, I didn't really know. This is what they told me, but he's backing up what he said, which gives me more faith in the verdict, and glad he brought that kind of clarity.
Absolutely. Think about if he would have said the exact opposite, that actually I don't remember that event. I just remember being told what to say.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine the potential impact of that? So happy that he, I don't know, as traumatic as it must be to have witnessed this and have a vivid memory of it, at least there's no question in his mind that what he saw and said was true.
Absolutely. Completely agree. Thanks for writing this up for us and bringing this story, another crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.